I'd like to call the March 23rd, 2023 meeting of the Historic Preservation Commission meeting to order. Luke, could you take the roll, please?
All right, for the roll. Panic?
Here.
Mayor? Commissioner Graham White?
Here.
Commissioner Reno Ogden?
Here.
Forehand? Mayor Krasinski?
Here.
Mayor Sager?
Here.
Good form. Thank you all. First item, approval of minutes from our last meeting on January 26th. Are there any comments?
Just on other business, my name is E.G. on item 6. That's all.
I have one comment, and it's on item 6 in the second paragraph. And it is in the second sentence. I want to make crystallinely clear, because when I spoke with Frank Lippo, he took pains to indicate that he had not personally done any investigation. So I believe the second sentence should read in its entirety, Lippo said that he was not aware of any known concerns about Braun and mentioned an article from the Wednesday Journal in 1994. Close quotes. Other than that, I have no further comments. Anyone else have any comments? Carla?
No other comments.
Any comments in the room? Okay. Is there a motion to approve?
To approve.
Is there a second?
Second.
Luke? And Frank?
Aye.
Mayor? Mayor Graham White?
Aye.
Moreno Ogden?
Aye.
Abraham? Mayor Krasinski?
Aye.
Aye.
Quick comments. I see no one, no member of the public in the room. Did we receive any?
We did not.
I'm not sure how to handle this. I have a client named Mrs. Reno Ogden who wants to do a small addition to our house. I've done some quick sketches, and I also sent a little package to Luke. Do I present that as a member of the public? I just want to get a quick take on what things. I got 3 Xerox packages here. I'm up on the screens, I imagine. I could leave the room. I don't know what how to proceed with something like this. I'm a member of the board, so.
Sure. In the past, when there were comments, one of your daughters presented those comments as to the garage. Would her doing that at the next meeting prove to be an inconvenience time-wise?
No, I can make that work.
Is that's what I'm thinking, just for sake of consistency. And then you can physically excuse yourself, and we'll discuss it, vote on it, track you down. Thereafter.
Luke, you can go ahead and send that out to everybody, I guess, and for the next meeting. And
yeah.
You'll have at least a
exactly.
Sketch of it.
Yeah.
That sounds like a plan.
Great. Next item, discussion and contribute noteworthy properties consideration of significant property status. Dan, you've done a lot of work on this. Do you want to talk to you?
So generally, I noted some properties that through researching for house walks and tours, sidewalk tours, information has come up that wasn't on the original survey. And so I noted best I could on each of the properties.
And so what I did was, I copied what was the survey information from the database and then the added information. And I just used the form that we have had on the website, the survey modifications form. One side note is this is why it's important to keep the searchable database accessible, because it's really the only place I know of where we can get this information. You know, we've got it for the significant properties. That's easy to call up. But we can only go online to get these non-significant property descriptions, information. So, so far, so good. The searchable database has been operating as expected. So anyway, that's it. We found out a couple architects. So that's important. That's all I can say. I'm all for trying to get these properties to the significant property list. And we do have backup. So every piece of information in the modification form has some backup. And I think I noted that too. Or if I didn't, I can certainly find it. And this is, you know, I think even with the Lakota group, these are the kinds of resources they used and that show up in their bibliography in this, the back of the survey book. Go to the Chicago Tribune, they go to the History of River Forest. They use all of these sources that I noted. And then 936, I do want to thank village staff. I don't know if it was Luke or... 936 Franklin, I put in a FOIA application and got back 80 plus documents, but because there were the original documents for the original permits, then there was some addition put in, the swimming pool interior work. So it's all there. And I did forward it to the owners, the Davises. Oh. Yeah, so they've got all of that. We found out, we've confirmed through the certificate of occupancy, that house is actually 55 years old. That occupancy certificate is 1968. But yeah, thanks, Luke, for all that work. Appreciate it.
Thanks for the patience. I remember I took a little bit on that one.
I wonder why. Anything to say?
Thanks, great. What you're digging?
Yeah, thanks. Thank you.
Modifications to those five properties that are already significant within.
No.
No.
They're not.
These five are not.
They're not. So I took the survey as being all 3,000 properties.
Right.
No, these are not. These are, they might be contributing to the historic district, or potentially contributing. Um, 629 Thatcher is contributing. Uh, 544 Thatcher is contributing. 527 is Yeah, 527 Thatcher contributing, 544, 629. Now, over on Keystone, 535 is contributing. what else do we have? What was the fifth one? Or did I get them all? Is that it? Is that the fifth? I think they're all on the contributing. Oh, and then the 936 was the past, you know, noteworthy. It was less than 50 years at the time of the survey. So now it's 55 years. So, you know, as you can see on some of these, you know, we don't have the architect, but, you know, these were noteworthy people in the village. The 936 Franklin, it's such a unique property, such a unique architecture. We have nothing like it.
You've spoken to the property owners, correct?
Nope.
No.
Nope. I waited for our open meeting.
I was going through some old emails from COVID times. I came across one, Jan, that's 233 Gale. That was an award-winning house for historic preservation and listed the homeowner as unknown.
And it's not a significant property.
No, but I think I want to press
that,
and we
golly.
Don't have her name here. So this email note, unless they were selling Roman stained glass windows from the Roman church back in individually framed in oak by a congregation member, and they were $400 on Facebook.
You're kidding.
No. Oh, I missed this one, but it's disgusting.
Yeah, it is.
Hopefully 10 more in the basement in varying degrees of condition.
There is one panel over at our library. But, and I would assume they're still at the church, I hope.
Yeah.
Okay, so 233 Gale. I take it back. At six, I have not talked to any of the owners about possibly being added. I do know that the owners at 527 Thatcher, the, what are their names? Jen Mitchell, the Mitchells. They have been on our sidewalk tours. Their daughter, Sadie, assists us on our sidewalk tour. They have are displaying the Historical Society plaque. So they're, you know, so I don't, so at least they bought into the fact that they have a very historic home and they're interested in history. The 629 Thatcher was on the Tales Our Houses Tell house tour this year or last year. And I think the owners know of the importance of the house. They have the details about the architect. The other owners didn't talk to, but I know that... and these were on the housewalk. 544 Thatcher was on the housewalk. 629 Thatcher. These were all on the housewalk. The one where you go inside. But as far as approaching them about being a significant property, changing the status of their home, no. I didn't think that. Actually, I didn't think it was my place to do it.
Mm-hmm. I have a question, though, about, you know, how one puts new houses on the significant list, because when the original list was established, I don't believe property owners were asked. I believe we were just notified.
I believe that's the case.
So I don't
know. That was an informational question on my part.
Yeah. So, there have not been any new properties put on the list since the original was established. Am I right? And is that, I don't know if there, how it would go about, adding additional properties to the list.
Eve, the question was asked of the village attorney, Lance Molina, and I believe he suggested his advice was to, that as a commission, we request the village board to permit our adding new properties, and they could to us what they wanted to do as a procedure, which would include potentially having mini architectural survey done by architects, perhaps the same folks that did the original survey. I'm confused about something. You can help me, Jan. Looking at these five properties, and there is survey information notes. Now, these were included. Where did you find?
Okay, which notes are you talking about? That from the searchable database. This long list is copied directly from the database. So if we were to look to go to the big fat book of significant properties, we would see the same format if we were to call it up in the searchable database.
Right. What I'm doing is I'm looking, I've got the original draft. These are the properties that he had suggested that we look at. And I'm looking, for instance, at 527 Thatcher. And these are properties that we considered and we rejected for inclusion as significant property.
Okay.
So 527.
Okay.
527 Thatcher was one.
Okay.
Let me just go through these. I was going through some items during COVID pruning. I thought that I would keep ones from the original that had not made the cut, so to speak. I don't see anything for 535.
Do you know why 527 was rejected?
No idea. Then
so here,
quite
here,
a while.
Yeah, so here's the data from, this long list.
Yep.
And, it is missing the things that we found in the research. In fact, Frank Lippo is the one over at the museum, is the one who found the architect, Mahler.
Right.
I'm sorry, 527. Wrong house.
Yep.
Hodgkins is the one. And Kurt found that, and that's based on a news item. News article, January 1891 in the Tribune. So, and then we know through the newspaper articles that I was to that it is John Broughton's first house. And moving into the house, he's building the house. I'm sorry, 527 Thatcher.
Gotcha.
And so that's the one, the Hodgkins. And then, they're moving into the house. And I put down that we found no evidence of any other house that John Broughton built during that time. So we're 99.9% sure that we're talking about 527, which, was an old number. It was 56. And it's kind of neat that the old number is still over the door at the house. So 527 was rejected, but you know, we do have this additional information, which may or may not have allowed it to make the cut if Lakota had that info at the time. And so there wasn't anything else that you, but they have, the Mitchells have done a good job of removing the blue, the turquoise trim.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was their first project.
Noticed that here 936 Franklin,
mm-hmm.
935 Franklin
is gone.
It's gone. Okay.
Demolished.
Okay. That one had been rejected.
Oh. It was a mid-century modern. It looks a lot like the one on Ashland in the same block. But anyway, it was demolished. It's a vacant lot, and he's been trying to sell it. The guy on the corner has been trying to sell it for over a year.
Of those five, the only one I noticed in the stack was 527 Franklin. 527 Thatcher, excuse me.
And that was? At the time, you had only the information from the survey. No, I'm just.
I understand. Well, then we have. These are the same. So you've got in here, if I remember correctly.
Here, where?
This list. That had been noteworthy of less than 50 at the time.
Yeah.
And that does not include three that have been demolished, nor does it include 936 Franklin, which is a repeat. So if you've got 18 and 5.
So we've got a bunch that, would we address them all at once, even though they're not 50 years old? That would be the right approach.
In order to be added, they have to meet certain standards, including the Secretary of the Interior's greater than 50. So if it's not greater than 50, then it's premature to consider their addition. Now, Yeah, some of these obviously are don't fall into that category.
Mm-hmm, right.
So that's what I'm thinking. Curious what the commission thinks. Is I think we need to get a list of these five, if you believe they should be considered based upon subsequent research, as well as any of these 19 that are not repetitive of the five and are also, we can prove, more than 50 years old. Then take that number, and if we think it's sufficient, then go to the village forum and ask for their guidance as to how they wish us to proceed or not to proceed in terms of any additions. Anyone have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think we should take this list of the more modern, the mid-century, and just eliminate right off anything built after 1973. Would that be 50 years?
Yes.
So, you know, I can see this 547 Park 2011, the last one, would not be eligible.
Right.
And just go through those. I can go around the village and look at, you know, prairie school architecture and say, oh, that's good prairie school architecture. Mid-century, some of these I could go by and say, eh, why? So, I mean, don't we need a little bit more information about what the standards for these, other than them being more than 50 years old?
Right. David, you look like you have a thought.
I'm just thinking if there's a the group together, the edge of the right before the bridge.
Ron.
Yeah. That whole block, because they're such, they are quality and such a nice group of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they're,
I think that,
and that's another point. Oh, I'm sorry, Carla. What?
No, I think that grouping, the Braun architecture on Verin, seems to me to be a good example of good architecture. The others, most of these, just look like, you know, I would need to be convinced about why they would be, you know, something significant. Go ahead.
I guess. I'm sorry. I don't mean to step on your discussion, Carla.
Well, Dave's got a good point, though, that, you know, we're looking at the five, we're looking at the list, and Dave just reminded us, we've got that section on River Oaks. So if we're going to present a package to the village.
Oh, but I think that's different in some instances, because I think, and, I mean, we're kind of jumping ahead a little bit, but I think the idea with River Oaks is to have some kind of designated neighborhood status, as opposed to individual homes being designated as significant properties. I think that's a different level of.
Would that be more like? Would that be more like the 700 block of William?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Okay. It's more the collective synergy has something.
So, in other words, we're going to have another meeting because it's going to take a while if we want to confirm this list. So, if we took a package to the village of just the five, we could probably get that pretty quickly. But if we're going to, I mean, what do you think we should do? I agree with Carla that a lot of these houses are questionable.
Personally, I'd rather not piecemeal
a
presentation of the village.
All right.
So what I'd like to do is, these are, quote, noteworthy buildings. What I would like to do, I mean, these were appended as effectively an appendix, although I don't think it was called as such, to the survey and the volume one of the survey. But I would suggest for others' consideration that we look at this list. We can prune out those, you know, 2011, okay, 2000, 1988, 2005. Those aren't even close to 50 years.
Okay.
As to those where it says 1970s, the question is, what's the date? And then we can go to the village and say, okay, we've got X number of homes, either because we've got subsequent information that's been developed in the intervening years since the survey that may suggest that they are either historically or architecturally significant, those five, as well as some of these which are greater than 50, and then ask someone to do a survey of the 20-whatever or 15 or 17 or 21, whatever the number is, of those, which is a much smaller number, obviously, than the thousands of the initial survey, and find out what they think using the same criteria as to these that are less, that are more than 50, and those five. Mm-hmm. Then we can take a look at the results of that survey, go through the process we did initially, where it goes up on the screen. We have, as a commission, we have a discussion as to the merits or whether we think something has been sufficient, you know, once might have been significant but has been sufficiently altered that it's lost that designation potentially, and then come up with a number, then present that to the village and say, this is what we're talking about. But I think what we need to do is, I think as a first step, is we need to find out what the number is. Does that make sense to people?
I think get up on the screen and look at them and discuss them and have them.
Yeah.
Some of the stuff that Jan's uncovered, there's stuff we didn't know at the time.
To be sure. To be sure.
Difference.
Chairman Frenick, if I can add one item, there's a question about the notice for the potential additions that is in the village code. It's kind of in line with what Chairman Frenick just described, but there's a 14-day notice. There's no clarified public hearing or anything like that. It's just a notice that needs to be acknowledged, so certified mail like that. That's the notice that would be expected for whatever properties that the commission is looking at.
Sorry.
I think that would be after.
We get whatever the number survey is, then the notice.
Correct. Or maybe even after the survey results. I guess that somewhat would be up to the commission, how much you want them to be engaged in the conversation. Really, it just says prior to the date on when it would be added to the significant properties list, so that could be pretty close to when a final decision is made. But there might be some advantage to engaging those property owners earlier. I think as long as it's 14 days before, I think that there's some room for discussion on that point.
Okay. Maybe we can do this. Maybe we can sort of figure that out as we go.
Right.
But I think, Matt, I think that's an excellent point. Right.
So again, what's step one on the list as to the list of noteworthy buildings?
So we eliminate anything less than 50. And if you can get some further information on those that say, quote, 1970s?
I can. Concordia is a little tricky because I look up the address and it's like a whole university.
Right.
You don't get Carnegie Hall and the chapel. So, but
So if I were to FOIA.
Building permits.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what you do.
Oh. 2360 Park.
Oh, no, 7360 Oak.
Oak.
Yeah.
Hmm. But, yeah, do you want me to send specific FOIAs or do you want a verbal FOIA through this recording?
I would prefer like the same thing. Last time with the
individual pieces of paper.
Well, if you could just put it all on one document, on one PDF, just a list of the addresses, please.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sure.
And on Concordia, we do have a good working relationship with their facilities manager, so anything we might not have or his historic background, Glenn Steiner at Concordia might have that for us.
Well, I'll put it on the list, Luke, and then. So I just checked off about 4, 312 Franklin, 414 that you mentioned, Franklin, 203 Keystone, 547. There's one that was weird. The next to the bottom, and we can try for it, 321 Park. And per the survey, it says 1970s, but then they said something about 1920s vernacular bungalows. So I'll try and pursue that, and you can maybe you got something in the FOIA, but it's just I don't know why Lakota Group put that 1920 note on there. Anyway, I'll try. All right, so. Why would it have been rejected? All right, so I am going to send a big list FOIA request to Luke. And that was supposed to be bungalow? That's the bungalow.
Yeah, it would have been a
it's a bungalow.
Only the bungalow.
Yeah. Tudor Revival bungalow.
That's some steroids and no up.
Thanks. Okay, no problem.
Okay. Yeah. Do we have any other thoughts on this subject generally or specifically of protecting properties, having stuff to do with this list, et cetera, et cetera? I don't want to foreclose anyone's comments. Not. Let's move on then to the Auvergne neighborhood in Martin Braun. I went through the village architectural survey and noticed, lo and behold, there's a little biographical sketch on Martin H. Braun, which provides some additional information, not a ton, as to Mr. Braun. I guess the bottom line is we don't have anything one way or the other. I guess we're exercising potential overabundance of caution, just trying to look at applaud their work, sure that in their past, and again, I take great pains to say this is in no way, shape, or form should be viewed as accusatory of Mr. Braun or his descendants or anyone, but simply just an overabundance of caution. Group, I think, collectively.
I did notice one thing in this article. Sorry. That he sold his wife, his widow, I guess. They sold a lot that they decided not to use to Percy Julian.
Yeah.
Which I think would seem to me that he was not discriminating against blacks and whatever. Whenever this was, I don't remember what the date was, but it's pretty early. I thought that was an historical thing.
I'm sorry, Carla, could you repeat that? I didn't quite hear what you said.
Okay, I'm trying to read this with my new glasses.
Mm-hmm.
Let me get in some light here. Where is this? This is in this article. I can't read it, actually. Okay, he purchased a lot on East Avenue to build their own house. But when we changed our plans and decided to build on a fern, they sold the lot to Percy Julian, the famous chemist. So that was in, was that in 1947? So I think that's indicative of something about him that is not discriminatory, and that even though he came from Germany, he probably was not a Nazi. I don't know.
Good catch, Carla.
Well, I read this today. I thought, oh, let's find out something about him. So whoever attached this article, that's interesting. That was in the Wednesday Journal of 1994. It's on the second page. So I thought that was interesting. That, I think that was the quote from his widow.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly positive indication.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly given the despicable conduct which Mr. Julian and his family were subjected to in their home.
Yes. So I think that's definitely a plus in his to him.
Absolutely.
I was very surprised when I read that, in 2023. That long ago that they sold, his wife was saying this in 1994, which was, I think, middle school that was still Hawthorne before the middle school was renamed in Percy Julian's name.
Uh-huh. Well, that's certainly a, it's certainly a positive.
Mm-hmm.
Do we then want to do this? Do we want to do this separately, but in tandem when we go to the village board with respect to expanding potentially in terms of what our thoughts are, but adding some significant properties to the survey, just do it in one shot?
I think so.
It'd be a separate item, but that way it's just getting a collective focus.
I think it'd probably be better for the village, for the village board to have everything presented at one time, even if it was divided into those older properties that perhaps should have been included on the list when it was first developed, and then possibly the more contemporary ones, which have become 50 years old now, and then the Auvergne area. so that, you know, you could divide them up but present them at the same time.
There's another observation, and that is that the Braun development is outside the historic district.
Oh.
If I can make the whole thing a district.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. what I'm wondering. Yeah. William Place, 700 block, I think that's in the historic district.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts? By the way, Carla, what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask Luke and or Matt to send you a copy of what I just sent out. It's some biographical information on Mr. Braun. It's on page 60 of the first volume, the thin volume of the architectural survey that was done initially.
Okay. I probably have. Is that in the big book?
Yeah, it's the thin one. It's in the back. There's a mm-hmm. there's some biographical information
yeah.
on architects okay. who were active in River Forest. I attempted to take a photograph of it, which I did, and then forwarded on to Matt and Luke for forwarding on, but that's where there was an operator error / technological failure on my part, and I was unable to relay that on to village staff. Otherwise, I would have had it as part of the package tonight.
Okay. I think I probably have that. I have all the old stuff from when it was first prepared and probably stuff that was before the, you know, the bound copies were prepared. But
it's actually the thin first volume, which is the thin bound copy.
Okay. Yeah, I have that. I'll take a look at that and see.
Okay, it's on page 60 of that.
Okay. Yeah, good.
Back to the Braun. Do we need to confirm first date, end date of when those houses are? Is it enough in this article between 47 and?
Yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot in here. I was also thinking, this is just something that came into my brain. There are a lot of people who, I don't know, they may even still be living there, moving in the, I think, I read this afternoon, and in the 1970s moving in, people may still be there.
Some of the original owners, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Philip Goodwin's still there. He's still at 540. Hmm. Or he's the son because he had a Flamingo Friday last summer. So Philip is the real,
And he probably
no greater form of evidence.
Yeah.
if you could stand up and have a Flamingo Friday. Mm-hmm. So I think and I've heard that Philip still has a lot of information.
Oh, that would be good to kind of ferret out.
I don't know about any of the others, Carla, but...
I was just wondering because, you know, they may know, or if he's there, he may know if there's anybody else who's still around or where they are.
Yeah.
If they're still around.
An interesting question. Can a historic district include homes that are less than 50 years old?
Mm-hmm.
Can a historic district include homes that are less than 50 years old?
Are they less than 50?
They're non-contributing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Are they less? Are these less than 50 years old though?
No, they're
They're more than 50. But although I think you know, that they're in this article, they mentioned some people who had moved in the 70s, but I guess they were like, you know, not the first people who lived there.
Yeah, not the originals.
But the homes were.
Here it is. The second to the last column, she says all houses were finished between. Where did I see that? I just got.
Oh, I see one. The
all,
last.
All the houses. Yeah. It had to be.
The last house built was in the 70s.
Oh.
In the second column of the item from the survey on page 60, it says, quote, in River Forest, Braun developed Auvergne Place, a two-block enclave north of Lake Street between Edgewood Place and the Des Plaines River, where he built 13 custom ranch homes, 1948 to 1955. Those quotes.
So where does it say about the 1970?
Okay, it's the last paragraph. The last house built went up in the 70s, according to Mrs. Brown. Three of the original owners are still there. And it says it's an unusual community. Son Philip Goodwin. It's an unusual community, says Philip Goodwin, who lives in the former Marquardt property. We have the best of all possible worlds. Forest Preserve, Des Plaines River, and with a little turn of the head, the architecture of Frank Lloyd Wright.
So as to that 70, from what I'm hearing from you, is it could be a contributing property to a historic property.
All right.
I'll go for that.
Have anything else on that topic? If not, discussion of additional ways to protect significant properties, our general catch-all.
Did finish that map, and I emailed it over to Matt the other day. My KML file, which is kind of like a file you could just share with someone and upload it, and it could go on the website. Yeah, I think it turned out pretty good. There's 32 on the website. Mm-hmm. So try to finish my contribution.
Greatly appreciated.
No problem.
More contributions to follow. Hopefully.
Yes.
There you go. Does anyone have anything else in that sort of catch-all category?
Oh.
There you go.
Oh, goody.
Yeah, there's find a little bit of a challenge with the.
Something before Brian takes off, one thing while Matt is doing that. We all should have received the notice from the Cook County Board of Ethics. And I don't know if you've received one, Brian, because you're less than a year.
Yeah, I did it.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. It's a pretty straightforward kind of thing. The due date, I believe, is May 1st. And I think the village gets fined like $50 or so.
Ooh.
I've
gotten two already, two notices.
Else gets fined now, not the village.
Oh, okay. So
that's
wow. Orange.
Wow.
So we 15.
Yes.
So we take that out of the
pay.
The compensation?
Yeah.
We receive.
Yeah.
Okay. Just want to make sure. There you go. There you go.
So
I can tell you where this is going to be particularly helpful. I do periodic tours over at Unity Temple. Frank Lloyd Wright designed UNESCO World Heritage Site in Oak Park, the Unitarian Church. And probably half of the people that I give tours to are not only not from this area, but not from the U.S. And many of them ask me, oh, where do you live? And I say, River Forest. And I say, what's that? And I say, it's the sister village to Oak Park. It's just across Harlem, which is basically a couple hundred yards west of the home and studio. They say, oh, do you have interesting homes there? And it's like, shazam, this will be the perfect thing to point people to and say, well, as a matter of fact, yeah, no, this,
yeah.
This is fabulous.
Mm-hmm. Real fun.
Standing. Okay. And where are we going? You ever been to Amsterdam before?
Oh, yeah.
The it's already sold out. The Rijksmuseum has literally all the Vermeers ever. They've got 28. Yeah, they literally stole out in like 12 hours. Oh. But if you can somehow get your nose in.
My only free day is
okay.
Well, thanks, Brian. Yeah, this is really great.
Oh, no, and not at all.
Two.
Oh, it's tremendous.
Arg.
Thanks. You too,
Brian.
You too. Take care.
Thanks.
Again, many thanks. That's great.
Enjoy.
Nice flights.
Yeah. Really.
Very well done.
Yeah, it is.
There you go.
You'll get you. Yes.
Luke, you're killing me.
All right. It's wonderful.
Over the places you'll go, Dr. Seuss.
Danny Mayne, too. That's the one I want to correct. We need to figure out how to get that text. Rio 6 Keystone Avenue, 1882, Arch.
Yes,
Frank Lloyd Wright.
No.
Oh, no.
No.
Doesn't sound right to me.
As I have often said, I once had a negotiation with the attorney whose mother was a full-blooded member of the Passamaquoddy Nation in far down East Maine, right on the Canadian border. And he pointed out to me that when something is done by someone of Native American heritage, there is always intentionally a mistake because only the creator is perfect.
Okay.
And Art's comment.
Okay.
And I'm not talking about, you know, any of us individually or collectively. I thought that was just an interesting observation.
Mm-hmm. All right.
That's my excuse.
An intentional. Yeah. It's intentionally.
Yeah.
There. Okay.
And it's actually the way you can tell a piece of artwork or craft or anything, frankly.
Okay. Very nice.
Do we have anything else?
I just want to mention that the next Preservation Oak Park meeting, and these are the meetings that Frank Lippo is part of and presented, they didn't have one in March, and so their next meeting will be April. Therefore, there hasn't been a printout, an update of the February meeting. So Frank will put that together at some time, and then I'll forward to staff. Okay? And then there's back to research and finding stuff. I found that I went through some of the tour books that the Historical Society does, the annual. And in there is 2019 is 1339 Forest, and it says it's a Jerome Cerny. So I'm investigating that because that was certainly missed. And there's another property. It's 1512. In the survey, there's kind of confusing information, but talking to Carlotta Lucchese, who's a well-known preservation advocate in River Forest, she and her husband just moved to a property, and she said it's a Cerny, and it's 1500 Franklin.
What are the two?
Okay, so it's 1339 Forest.
Yep.
And so that I have already reached out to Cerny Architects in Lake Forest because they still carry on the property. I also am reaching out to the Lake Forest, Lake Bluff Historical Society. And also I want to know from the researcher where his proof is, and he needs to dig it up. So we'll see. So through all of that, we should get some answers. Yeah, I'd like to know how they could, what.
Sure.
And then, so in the survey.
I'm sorry, Janet, it was 1512.
So, well, here's the conflict. So through the survey, at one point it says 1512 Franklin.
Uh-huh.
And I went on the searchable database. There is no 1512 Franklin. But through these pages, and I'm sorry I didn't write down which page, it says it's a Cerny. 1500 Franklin is the house that the Lucchese's say is a Cerny. So I think what happened is there was a mismark of the address, because the 1500 is very French style, of Cerny style. And there is no 1512, and then next to it is just nothing that would even be close. So I'm pursuing that, and I think Carlotta's going to be out of town for a while, but yeah. I'm just going to ask her what's her proof that her
sure.
home's a Cerny. So that's the two things that I'm bird-dogging. So that the Franklin Avenue is going to be a real correction to, if I could find my right page. Anyway, stay tuned.
Always, thanks, Jim.
That's it.
When you're giving your tours and people ask you about a forest, will this be on our website? You direct them to that.
That is the goal.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to figure out the best way to get the actual Google Earth version up on the website. Currently, it's giving us a little bit of a hard time and just having a Google Maps version, which is still useful but not as robust. We are still working through that, but that is the goal too.
Okay.
Have it available on our website.
To date, what I've told people is we're in the process of implementing. But, just out of curiosity, if they want some further information, rf.us. Ultimately. Yeah.
Just sitting like somebody on a plane, where are you from? Well, here, take
Yeah, place. Exactly. No, it's, yeah. The comment that I make to people is that personally, I think between Oak Park River Forest and Riverside, I don't think there's a greater group of architect designed residences from 1870 through late 20s, early 30s, really anywhere in the country between the three. Actually, Riverside's before them. Yeah, that's the other one that pops up. Yeah. But it's, you know, bungalow. Other than that, it's we've got a real rich resource here that I think, because, you know, we live here and or some of us grew up here, I don't think people have that appreciation because they've always seen it. Mm-hmm. Grew up in, you know, Fenway was down the street or Wrigley was down the street. You don't realize that, you know, not every baseball stadium is historic.
So I found the reference to 1512 Frank. No. This is weird. So this is in the historic context, Jerome Cerny. It's in the survey, and it talks about other talking about Cerny, little bio, region of France, designed many country French style homes in River Forest, including one at 1512 Forest. So, I'm sorry. So yeah, it gets more confusing. So what I want to know is try and get a list of all the Cernys in River Forest. There probably aren't that many. Good. Good project. So done. Never mind. I'll address it when I've got clearer information.
Anything else? If not, is there a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Is there a second?
Aaron Franek?
Aye.
Sam White?
Aye.
Reno Ogden?
Aye.
Aye.
And Chris Sager?
Aye.
We are adjourned. Thank you.